All right. Please take out your study guide if you'd like to follow along that way. Have you ever struggled about God's guidance in your life? Wondering if the impressions you were sensing were coming from God or some other source? Who's talking to me? Who is this? Have you been leery about making decisions because you weren't sure if you were following God's voice or your own? Has anyone else had that struggle? Is this God? Is this me? You know, there are three voices, at least three voices that we hear during the course of our lives. God's voice, Satan's, and our own. So is there any reasonable way to distinguish between them all? Is that a fair question? I've got to make a big decision. That God, that Satan, is that myself? Who's speaking to me up there? Whose voice is it? Praise the Lord, there is a way to discern that. And we start with a wonderful Bible promise. James 1:5 says that if any of us lack wisdom, we should ask God. Well, that's good. We've all known that. Sure, we can ask wisdom. But really, the Greek word is really more literally the word discernment. And so you could appropriately read the text. If any of you lack discernment about something, just ask God and He'll give it to you. In fact, we're not only promised discernment, like it says there in James, we're commanded to seek it. Did you know that? We're commanded to seek discernment. Right there in your notes, 1 John 4:1, the Apostle John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but what? But test. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, this not only applies to what preachers say or teachers, but to any voice we may hear, including the ones in our mind. All right, test it. Not just what I say or some radio preacher, but the voices inside our own mind, test that out. And that's what we want to know today. How can we test those voices out and tell them apart from God, Satan, or our own? Well, to begin that little journey today, please turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is our last in a series of messages on hearing God's voice. This is the seventh and final one in this series. And we close in the same way we began, by remembering that we have a God who speaks. He does speak. He's not a silent God. He's not an idol. He's working in our lives and He's eager to guide us. And we've given several recent and modern personal examples of how God does that, how He can do that, and how He is doing that. Now, here in John 10, Jesus has some words that's going to help us dive in to this topic a bit further. Let's begin at verse 2. Jesus said, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they" what? "They know his voice." And verse 27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." To me, that is filled with such great news. There is so much assurance that God is with us when we need His guiding voice. Listen to this. Jesus is the shepherd, and He calls His sheep to listen to Him. Listen to this. The fact that His sheep listen to Him means that He's speaking to them. Isn't that great news? We say, where's God? Does God really speak? Well, what does Jesus say? His sheep listen. So if they're listening to the shepherd, that means that He is speaking to them. The sheep, why does the shepherd speak? In order to what? What does the shepherd do to sheep? He guides them. He leads them. Right, exactly. So God is speaking to us to lead and guide us. We're not without a GPS. We have a God positioning system, right? And we have a godliness positioning system, however you want to look at it, that will lead and guide us where God knows is best for us. Not only that, He doesn't only speak to us as a flock. You know, a lot of us say, yes, I know God is here. We pray as a church, so He blesses us as a church. No. God not only speaks to us as a flock or as a church, He speaks to us and leads us each by name. That's what Jesus said. So when we pray, God's not only hearing the prayers of the church, He's also hearing Raul's prayers and Wayne's prayers, everyone's prayers individually. God is hearing. I love that. You know what that means? He knows exactly what each of us are going through. How great the pain or the joy, how boring or exciting life is, how hopeless or hope-filled we are, where we've been, and where He needs to lead us. God knows about that for each and every single one of us. And what does verse 3 say? And His sheep know His voice. They know it. We say, well, it's impossible to discern between God, Satan's, or my own. But what does Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. They discern it. They know when I'm speaking. You want to know how to make sure it's Him speaking to you and not Satan? Jesus Himself says, you will know it. If you're looking for a way in to do His will instead of a way out of it, if you really want to know God's voice so you can obey Him, then He promises right here that you will know Him when He speaks. Let's put this all together then. If God is speaking to each of us, if He is leading us to the best place, if He does speak so clearly that we can know that it's Him, then there's only one part of the equation left, and that's found in verse 27. If God is speaking so clearly to guide us, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. Our part is simply then to listen. God is speaking. God is guiding. Our job then is to listen. People say, why pray? Doesn't God know everything? Let me ask you, doesn't God know everything? So why pray? Are we informing Him of anything He doesn't already know? Why pray? Listen, prayer isn't for God's sake. It's for ours. It's to prepare our spirit to hear His voice, to receive His guidance, and to give His supernatural power to do His will. So prayer is more about listening than speaking. Is that fair to say? Prayer is more about listening to what God has to say. In fact, I would say it's more important to listen to what He has to say than it is for us to tell God what we have to say. If you want to be blessed, if you want to know direction in your life, listen. It's all about listening to God. Now, I can't wait to take whoever's willing into a prayer journey called listening prayer, where we learn how to tune in to the radio frequency of heaven and hear God speak to us more clearly. I've given you several examples of God doing that kind of thing. God wants that. Well, for the rest of our time today, we're going to look at some of the primary ways God has set things up so we can best hear Him. And as we follow these Bible-based principles that we're going to share, we'll be better able to distinguish God's voice from Satan's or our own. So we're going to look at them, 10 of them, very quickly. Number one, here's the first principle for discerning His voice from the rest. When you believe God is trying to lead you to do something, know first that God's true voice will glorify Christ. Number one, what do I do? Well, first of all, God will lead you in a way that will glorify Christ. What does John 15 say there in your notes? When the Counselor comes, Jesus said, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, He will testify about Me, and He will bring what? Jesus said. He will bring glory to Me. He will bring glory to Me, Jesus said. So, ask yourself if what you believe you're being led to do truly brings glory to God. And you know how I say it in my own life? I ask myself this, very simply. Does this build up God's kingdom or my own? I ask that in several different kinds of situations. Sabbath keeping, for example. I ask myself, is this going to build up God's kingdom or my own? In other words, is this for self or is this for God? In all kinds of decision making, that's the number one thing to ask. Who will it bring glory to? So give it the glorifying God alone test. Number two, God's voice is consistent with His Word. All right? When God is guiding you, He's going to be consistent with what His Word says. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What do you do? First thing to do, well, is what I'm being led to believe here to do, is it morally in tune with Scripture? Is it part of God's moral will? But again, here's how I phrase it in my own mind. Does it build on the Word, or does it in some way diminish the power and authority of God's Word in my life? If making a decision means that I'm going to have to somewhat rationalize or compromise or diminish the authority of power of God's Word in my life, then I have to set that aside and say, I don't believe that's from God. If it's going to compromise the authority of God's Word in my life, then I set that aside and seek it. Seek God's truer way. You know what's really exciting? Time and time again, I've shared some of these experiences. I'm going to share one more. Is what's really exciting is the way God guides us to Scriptures that speak to us and the very situations we're facing at that time that we're praying about them. It's amazing. God leads us consistently to Scriptures that we need. So we've got to be in the Word. About a year after I became a Christian, I was sensing a nudge in my spirit to leave Los Angeles, where I was raised, and go to Colorado, Boulder, Colorado. I had no money to leave, and I didn't know what I would do for a living when I got there, but I felt the moth of God that we spoke about a couple weeks ago, that still small voice, the moth there. I felt the moth saying, nudging me that I needed to go and that it was God's next step in His grand plan for my life. Well, I was praying and I'm saying, God, even if You wanted me to leave L.A., I feel stuck. Because look, Lord, I've got no money. I'm working just to meet expenses, but I've got no money saved, so I can't leave. But while I was praying about this, growing impression to move, His Spirit prodded me to open up my Bible. And I remember so clear. I was sitting on the bed. I was in an apartment. I had a roommate in the other room. And I was thinking, God wants to give me direction. He wants me to open the Bible. And remember, I told you the other story when God told me, go speak to that girl. She's Japanese, going to Japan, and I wouldn't believe it. Well, you know how stubborn I am? The very first experience was this one. And I struck out on that one, happened to be Gail, as we found out a few weeks ago. Well, I said, God doesn't speak directly to you and say, go talk to that person. But it wound up that He did. Well, the first experience was this one. He said, open up the Bible and I'm going to show you my plan for your life. And I said, no, God, I know You don't work that way. I'm very stubborn. It took two times before I finally believed God works that individually and personally. So God said, open up the Bible. I wrestled, and finally I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Now, I normally don't recommend. Just open the Bible, please. We've all heard humorous stories about what Bible verses you can come to after you just open the Bible. But the moth's wings were fluttering pretty hard that night. And I had no choice but to open up the Bible. It felt so strong in this case. I opened it right to the book of Acts. Right to the story of Peter stuck in prison. He was stuck in prison. That's what stuck in my mind. The believers were corporately praying for him. And what happened in response to their prayers? An angel came, touched him. You know what the Bible says? He loosed him. He was released from his prison. I began to cry right there. I said, God, thank You. You did speak to me. I knew right then, though I didn't have the money, though I didn't have a job in Colorado, I knew right then that some way God was going to make a way to release me and loose me to go to Colorado. Well, just a couple weeks later, I was home on the only day off I took that year. I was a surgical tech in the, I was a disorderly orderly in surgery. My friend who led me to Christ was a surgical tech. Well, I was home on the only day off I took that year, And this is a couple weeks later. I hear a crash. You'll never believe what happened. I hear a crash. I run outside to see what took place. A car sideswiped a car, which hit the car that was parked behind my big old car. So you see, there were four cars involved in that accident, right? So I run outside, and what's amazing is the car that was parked behind me, that's the one that got hit. No damage. But it almost totaled my car. It was the strangest thing. And I had this big old Cadillac, you know, these big old beaters. I just couldn't believe it. Well, I didn't know what to do, but that's the way life is. And I was driving around with this accordion Cadillac, you know, like this. Whenever I hit the brakes, I'm bang, stretched out. 2 weeks later, the insurance man comes to my door. Mr. Abbott, John Abbott, yes? Oh, we have a check here for $1,400 for your car? I was so naive then. I didn't even know how these things work. I said, oh, thank you. But a month or two later, I was in Colorado. And in Colorado, that was my ticket to Colorado. I knew God wanted me to go there. And a short time later, I sensed a call to gospel ministry. And then I went to Union College. God told me, John, open the scripture. I mean it. God told me, go talk to that girl. I'm telling you, He speaks. In this case, I'm talking about use the scriptures. Dive into the Word. Pray through them. Every day for my prayer life, I pray through what I'm reading that day. And it becomes fresh and new, my prayer life, because I'm praying for people as I read the scriptures and God speaks that way. All right. Number three, God's voice is not only heard through scripture, it's best heard when we're ultimately surrendered to whatever God knows is best. Jesus said, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. You know what? When we insist on our own way, it's so much easier for us to become confused. Isn't that true? What do we do? Oh, God, you know, when you really know you should or shouldn't be doing something, you fight against it. It gives the enemy so much room to confuse us. Listen to this. George Mueller, one of my all-time favorite people of faith and prayer, he kept an orphanage going in England where he fed, clothed orphans, but he never told anyone. He never did any fundraising. He never told anyone about their financial needs or their material needs. He just prayed to God. But Mueller has something very relevant here about discerning God's will. Here's what he says. I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. Listen to this. He says 9/10 of the trouble with people generally is that the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. In other words, he says 9/10 of the problem with people in trying to know God's will is that their minds are already made up no matter what God says. So he says 9/10 of your problem in knowing God's will would be taken away if you said, God, this is what I'd like to do. This is what I think is good. But God, I lay it all at your feet. If that's not good or best, I'm willing to change whatever you'd like me to change to glorify you. Isn't that beautiful? All right. So give it all to God. Number four, God's voice will challenge our faith. Oh, I love this. God's voice will challenge our faith. You know what? Faith is trusting in God and what He could do and not what we can do with our own resources. So you know what that means? Sometimes God's voice will ask you to do things that are far out of your comfort level and experience. Is that true? It's true. And you'll go, no way, Lord. You've got a wrong number, Lord. You dialed the wrong number. That possibly can't be me. I've never done it. I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure I want to do it. No way. That's impossible. But God often asks us to step out in faith. He asks us to walk a path. Get this. Where there is no path. Isn't that true? He says He makes the trail as we walk. What did the Red Sea do? It did not part until what? Until Moses and the Israelites stepped in. So God makes a path sometimes and guides us as we walk forward and trust Him. Never forget this story. Rich Carlson, still the chaplain at Union College, told this story one time. One day when he was a student missionary in Bolivia, he wanted to do some exploring. So he set out to explore the jungle, went on a really long hike. He thoroughly enjoyed all the new sights and sounds he was experiencing. Wonderful, awesome time. But by the end of the day, it was getting dark, and he realized he had no clue how to get back to the village. Can you imagine that? He's in Bolivia. He's in the jungle. He doesn't know where he is, and he's lost. So he prayed. He asked God to what? The big, wonderful G word of the series. Guide him. Guide him through the jungle night. Right after he finished praying, he looked up and he discerned a path. He said, "I don't believe it. That path wasn't there before. I didn't even know it was there. I never recognized it. God, thank you for helping me recognize the path that was there all along." By the moonlight, he easily followed the path. Several hours back to the village. In the morning, the next day, the villagers expressed their concern, believing he had been lost and possibly hurt out in the jungle. But Rich said, No. It wasn't a problem at all. I was lost, but I prayed, and God immediately led me to that path that goes to the jungle and leads back to the village. They were all thankful and praising God, but they said, Rich, we're so thankful your God answered those prayers. We're so glad for you, but Rich, there is no path. There is no trail. Never has been. God had made a way for Rich after he prayed. He said it was a path that was as clear and as anything and followed it all the way back safely to the village. You see, Isaiah says, "You will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk ye in it.'" And Jesus said, "I am the way." So sometimes He makes the trail as we walk. Number five, God's voice will be confirmed with godly counsel. God speaks through the counsel of godly people. The Scripture says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." In other words, one of the vital gauges God gives us in discerning His voice is the counsel of those who have had experience in the things of Jesus. And it's safe to pray with them. It's not the only thing, but take it as a tool. Number six, God's voice will bring result in godly fruit. Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." You know what I do? When I'm praying for a decision and I'm thinking, is this God's voice? I say, "God, what kind of fruit will this decision result in? What will it do to my character? What will it do to the example that I lead for others? How will it affect my children or my wife or my church members? What kind of fruit is this going to bear in the long run? Is it fruit? Is it the fruit of sin, as much as I compromise it, rationalize it, or is it the fruit of righteousness and goodness?" Number seven, God's voice speaks through circumstances. Consider what kind of doors are opening and closing in your life right now. But I add something to that. I learned this from Morris Vinden, and it's always been helpful to me. Ask yourself how God has led you in the past. Does there seem to be a pattern in the ways God normally speaks to you and guides you? I know God, because we have this relationship over the years built up, I kind of know, this is God's voice. This is the way He normally works. Now, I can't hold Him in a box. I've got to be open to all kinds of things. But it is helpful to ask, what are the circumstances and how has God normally seemed to relate to me? But I've got to leave the door open for God to work in surprising ways as well. Number eight, God's voice will bring peace to your spirit. You know, is God's will always easy? No, not always easy. We talked about last week, Jesus sweating great drops of blood. He knew it was the Father's will to go to the cross, and that wasn't easy. So, knowing God's will isn't always easy. But, when it's time to do God's will, you'll have the confidence to know that you're doing the right thing. That's the difference. That's what brings peace. Peace doesn't mean easy. Is that fair to say? Peace doesn't mean easy. Peace means confidence that you're doing the right thing. That's what peace is. Confidence that you're doing the right thing and that it's glorifying God in what you're doing. Isaiah says, "You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace." Number 9, God's voice becomes more recognizable as we mature in Him. Now, I love this verse from Romans 12:2. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God." You want to prove it. It's something that you could know. How do you do it? Listen to what Paul's saying. The less we operate by the ways of the world, and the more we operate by the ways of God because we're transformed in our minds by His Spirit, the more clearly we'll know His perfect will. We can know it because we're transformed, because we're operating on His principles and not the world's. Now, that's a process of growth and time. Look, I've told you very forthrightly that I failed big time in my first 2 attempts of God speaking to me. I failed because I wouldn't believe God spoke to us that way. But did God stop speaking to me or working with me? No. God went on to really help me, and I've shared some beautiful stories. So God continues to work with us. And that leads us to the final principle. This isn't exhaustive. We can add many more things. But don't be afraid to make mistakes. Listen, we're human. Our feelings waver. We're still growing. So in the beginning of this journey, when you're trying to discern God's will, like I had some ups and downs at the beginning of my experience, I made mistakes and I didn't believe, or I should have believed. Jesus is patient. But the bottom line is, as we gain experience in the things of Jesus, as we follow these basic Bible principles for discerning His voice, we'll find ourselves discerning Him more, experiencing more of Him than we ever thought possible. You know what God's Word says? "Call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Sometimes we say, "God, I do not know. I'm calling upon you. I do not know what to do about such and such. Whether it's my schooling, whether it's a move, whether it's a marriage, whether, what is it? God, I do not know." What does Jesus say? "Call unto me, and I will answer. My sheep listen to me. They know my voice. They listen and they follow." Jesus will speak to us. On the Mount of Transfiguration, in closing, when Jesus met with Moses and Elijah, and He was glorified before Peter, James, and John, this struck me yesterday. I was finished with the sermon, and then this came. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was glorified, this was the moment He was shining like this beautiful, beautiful, glorious white light, heavenly radiance, of all the things the Father could have said about His Son. He could have said, "This is my Son, ask of Him. This is my Son, speak to Him. This is my Son, do this, do that." Of all the things the Father could have said, "This is my Son, listen to Him." Isn't that beautiful? That's what it's really all about. "This is my Son, listen to Him." The more we prepare ourselves to listen, the more we'll hear Him speak, and He will do great and marvelous things in our lives for His glory and His soon coming kingdom. If there was ever a time in this earth's history when we needed to know His voice, it is now. It is now. So avail yourself of every opportunity in public, in prayer, corporate prayer, or in private to listen to God's beautiful will. Next week, we begin a new series called Sparrow Faith. I'm convicted now that the way the economy's going and the state of things, we're going to need to have the sparrow faith that Jesus talks to survive in these last days. So our new series beginning next Sabbath, Sparrow Faith. For now, let's stand and sing our closing hymn that speaks about Jesus guiding us. Father, you have been so good to guide us through this series and so many beautiful things in your word and so many promises that you are our shepherd, that you are leading us. Father, help us listen. Help us listen to that still small voice. Help us listen through all the ways in your word that you seek to guide us individually. What a beautiful thing. And now, Father, let us arise. Shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Amen.